When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Friday. Why is your boy hype? It damn sure ain't because the week is about to begin, because it ain't like I get weekends off. But I got my man Bart Scott in the house. Christine is in the house. Subbing for Molly, who needs a day off. I mean, my goodness, it's just so much to take first thing. But here's the biggest reason, ladies and gentlemen. I'm hyped and excited. That big boy in the middle right there, D. Woody, Damian Woody, in the house, going off all week long. But that ain't the reason. Look at that suit. He is sitting in my chair. He's got on a suit. He's got on a crispy collared shirt with a tie. It's ironed. It's not wrinkled. The brother's looking sharp. This is the Stephen A. influence. Affecting Damian Woody, of all people. It's a special day. It's a special day, ladies and gentlemen. You know First Take's in the house. Woo! Let's go.
Hello, good morning, happy Friday, everyone. Welcome into First Take. Christine Williamson here, filling in for Molly. We've got Stephen A., we've got Bart, we got D. Wood. And D. Wood, I was going to say something about your suit, too. You look really clean today.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
That's why I said it earlier.
Christine, it's good to see you as always. Can I start off today's show by diming somebody out? Can I do that, D. Woody? Can I do that, Bart Scott?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Let me tell y'all something right now. This damn Molly, okay, is off for the day. Off for the day. Uh-huh. Do you know I got a call this morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 a.m. West Coast time, because she wanted to talk about what should happen on today's show. I said, ain't you supposed to be off? You interrupted my sleep for that? Get out of here.
Sometimes it's hard to remove yourself from work.
I'm going to change my damn number. She called me again. That's ridiculous. And she ain't here, but waking me up. Oh, damn. Let's go.
All right, we got a big weekend of football. Let's talk about it, shall we? On Sunday, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills will welcome the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs to town for a divisional round showdown. The Bills are on a 6-game win streak, including their wild card win against the Steelers. But the Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes is 7-1 as a starter against teams that have won 5 or more straight games. Also, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens welcoming C.J. Stroud and the Texans to Baltimore. Jackson, one of two remaining starting quarterbacks that have played in the divisional round of the playoffs and have not won. Baker Mayfield is the other one. All right, Stephen A., I'm going to start with you on this one. Who is there more pressure on to advance, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen?
Are you starting with me? All right. I mean, that is apropos, I must say. But let me say this to y'all. let me say this to y'all. It's got to be Lamar Jackson. It's got to be. I mean, the reality is that Josh Allen has been in an AFC championship game. He's been to a couple of divisional playoff games. He's played lights out in a postseason game. We know what he brings to the table. It's not that he doesn't have to perform. It's not that he's devoid of pressure, because we understand this is the Buffalo Bills. It's Bills Mafia. It's the only thing they got going in Western New York as far as I'm concerned. And when you look at it from that standpoint, you have to recognize he has pressure, but not like Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is a former league MVP. He's about to be a 2-time league MVP, which will make him the 9th person in NFL history to pull that off. And then you look at his 1-3 playoff record, considering the season that he's had and the expectations that come with it. I'm just looking at a couple of numbers here, guys. 1-3 playoff record. He's only averaged 13 points a game in these playoffs. 56% completions, 225 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 7 turnovers, 5 interceptions, 5 total fumbles, two fumbles lost, sacked 19 times. When you think about those sacks, it ain't all on him, of course. It's on the team and the level of protection they provide. But nevertheless, considering how they improved the roster, you got a new offensive coordinator in Monken that's shown what he can bring to the table. You know you have exceptional coaching in John Harbaugh. You have a culture that has been lived up to. Bart Scott, you can speak to that a hell of a lot better than any of us when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens. You see that the fabric of who they are is firmly intact. If Lamar Jackson is intact and is doing the kind of things we've grown accustomed to seeing him do, there is no reason why the Baltimore Ravens should not be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, with you being the number one seed and the road to the Super Bowl having to come through Baltimore, the way Lamar Jackson has looked and what have you, this is not the time to wet the bed or be something less than what we know you are. And that's where the pressure comes from. And I didn't even bring up the bag, the $260 million he got, all right, that they paid up to him and what have you. You got to get it done.
Yeah, but who got the bag first, Stephen A.? That would be Josh Allen. And you talk about what team's window is open a little longer because Lamar Jackson is newly paid. He got that new money. Then his window is a little open because he's not going to be suffocated or suffocating the team from the weight of that contract and that salary cap hit. When I'm looking right here at the salary cap estimated next year for the Buffalo Bills, it's negative $43 million. That means that he's going to have to start saying goodbye to some of those players. Gabe Davis is going to graduate out of the program. Von Miller hasn't lived up to the expectations coming back from the injury. You know, Michael Hyde, Poyer, all these guys are aging themselves out. The Baltimore Ravens are young, likely, Owe. Ajobu, right? You think about, you know, all these guys are young. I understand that it is some pressure underneath Lamar Jackson to deliver. He's been hurt the last two seasons, hasn't been able to finish, but he has more individual accomplishments than Josh Allen. You talked about him being a two-time MVP. Josh Allen has fallen. We thought this was going to be Josh Allen's MVP to lose year after year, especially after that great performance that he put in Arrowhead when he lost, you know, the game after giving up a touchdown 18 seconds to go. So for me, Josh Allen, because time is of the essence, because he's about to have to start saying goodbye to some mainstays in this window. And yes, he's one of these guys that the window will open up again and he'll have another window. But with this group and right now, this is the last chance. This is the last shot you for them. Lamar Jackson just getting started.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson. And Stephen A. brought up some really good, you know, points as far as Lamar Jackson concerned, the contract, the fact that he's probably going to be the two-time league MVP and all that. But, you know, Bart, let me talk to you. You know where I'm about to go with this one right here. When we talk about winning in the regular season, the whole point, what's the number one goal that you try to do as far as a postseason concerned?
Get the number one overall seed
because we know, and the Kansas City Chiefs have been, you know, been the team that's kind of showed this whole thing is that when you have the number one seed, more than likely that's the easiest path to get to a Super Bowl. And so when I look at the Baltimore Ravens, the way they've performed thus far, how they dismantled, you know, all these, you know, the Detroit Lions, how they dismantled the San Francisco 49ers, all of that has led to them getting the number one seed. We've seen the additions that the Baltimore Ravens have added, it's particularly on offense. We've talked about in the past how the Baltimore Ravens primarily because of the lack of weapons offensively, that's kind of been a hindrance as far as Lamar Jackson and him taking the next step at the quarterback position. Well, we've seen Lamar Jackson take the next step at the quarterback position as far as the passing game is concerned because of the weapons that GM Eric DaGosta has brought in for Baltimore. So when I look at the Baltimore Ravens, everything is lined up for them. Everything. I think we can honestly sit here and say the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in football. They are the most complete team in football. And if you go out here and you lose to a rookie quarterback, and we know CJ Stroud is a dog. But if you go out here and lose to the Houston Texans in a divisional round, that would be a huge setback to what the discussion that we're going to have as it relates to Lamar Jackson.
More pressure to advance.
But the question is
more pressure to advance to the conference round of the playoffs.
To the conference to the finals or the Super Bowl, or the Super Bowl appearance. Let me say this to both of y'all, Bart, because you'll appreciate this. Let me just throw out a couple of numbers, a couple of pieces of stats for you that I researched going to. First of all, he would be the 10th in terms of multiple MVPs, assuming that he wins it this year. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana, Steve Young, Kurt Warner, and Patrick Mahomes are the 9 quarterbacks that have gotten at least 2 league MVPs. But I'm looking at this. Fewest teams point per games in playoff starts since the 1970 merger. Andy Dalton at number 1 with 10.8 points per game. Steve DeBerg at 11.8 points per game. Lamar Jackson at 13 points a game. And so I'm looking at it from that perspective, and that's the third lowest playoff passer rating, 68.3 over the last 20 years behind only Andy Dalton and Rex Grossman. When I see numbers like that and I see stats like that, right, that doesn't tell the whole story. But, Bart, you know this. Mm-hmm. It will for Lamar Jackson in the eyes of critics and cynics. If for some reason they go out there against Houston this week, by the way, a Houston squad that a lot of us thought was going to go down to Cleveland because of Cleveland's defense. And their defense was a huge story. That's something that we ignored with Joe Flacco and the Cleveland Browns offense. Houston's defense showed up. And this cat, D'Amico Ryans, the former defensive coordinator in San Francisco, kind of knows what the hell he's doing. And so I look at it from that perspective and I say, wait a minute. If you sit up there and you game plan against Lamar Jackson and you're successful to the degree that's similar to what other teams supposedly have been successful with against Lamar Jackson, Bart Scott, that's going to be a problem, bro. That's going to be a problem.
And, well, we know the underlying, the underlying message behind why it's a bigger problem for Lamar Jackson. But I'm just saying, Josh Allen, time is of the essence for them and this squad. And we're trying to talk about measuring progress. He's been to an AFC championship game. The next step is for him. He was supposed to be the guy that was supposed to create this Tom Brady, Peyton Manning type of matchup, right? And he let Joe Burrow come and kick him out of the contest. Right? And now he's at home where Orchard Park is supposed to be the place where he's supposed to be able to win. And now we're going to see Patrick Mahomes on the road for the first time.
Hold on, D. Woody. Only last point, and then I'll let you go. Josh Allen's playing against Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson's playing against a rookie. Mm-hmm. Let's not ignore the possibility, and it better not happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't believe it's going to happen. I love me some C.J. Stroud. He's a stud. I think he's a superstar to make it. But I think if Lamar Jackson goes out there and gets outplayed by a rookie, that's a problem, Bart.
It will be, Woody.
Yeah. And listen, I think the other point that was brought up was Josh Allen's been in the AFC Championship game. We've seen Josh Allen ball out. When Buffalo lost again, it wasn't because of Josh Allen. It wasn't because of Josh Allen in that epic duo, duel between him and Patrick Mahomes. So we're talking about a guy in Lamar Jackson who, again, more than likely is going to be a 2-time league MVP, and he has yet to have an AFC Championship appearance. I think that
he's been injured for the last 2 years, though.
But I'm saying everything is set up for the Baltimore Ravens right now. Why do you the way you played in the regular season, you went out here and you earned the number one seed. Okay? You earned the number one seed. If you go out here and get upset, a lot of the noise that we continually hear about Lamar Jackson is only going to get louder. I can say that.
Okay, let's move this conversation forward. Do you think, Bart, I'm going to ask you this. I know you said there's more pressure on Josh Allen, but do you think it's Super Bowl or bust for Lamar Jackson?
Not yet. I know he promised a Super Bowl, but that window is still open. Like I said, like this is a young roster as well. When you look at that defense, they replaced a lot of mainstays over there on defense. Ajobu, these guys are like first and second year guys on that side of the ball. Kyle Hamilton is in his second year. So I think, listen, they have an opportunity to still continue to build and get better. And I think this would be a great learning experience. Like, I don't think it's a mandate that he wins the Super Bowl in his fourth year. I think if he does, it puts him in rarefied air. I think he closes the gap on a guy like Patrick Mahomes as far as saying who's the better player, right? Because he'll have 2 MVPs, he'll have, one Super Bowl, and he'll be one behind Patrick Mahomes. And I think that whole narrative that you can't win a Super Bowl with a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, a guy that they consider a dual threat, run first quarterback. Now he's changing that narrative. I think that changes a bit. But I still think that it's more pressure on Josh Allen simply because this team is old. And you know how it is, Will, when that team gets to the end, we were part of a team that was an older team that we knew we had to win. Now that creates more pressure than a young team that thinks they get more bite at the apple. It doesn't guarantee that they're going to get more bites at the apple, but I'm saying that they're going to have more time because they're not under the same constraints as far as the salary cap to be able to build on this roster.
I just I find myself a bit distracted. Number one, because I don't agree with you. But number two, and more importantly, because I'm just looking at D. Woody in my chair, just suited down with the pocket square.
What can Brown do for you?
I'm so proud right now. I mean, I'm just
cast the Stephen A.
Influence.
Influence. He don't even, you know, like, because Stephen A's not here, he don't even see all the intricate details on it. But here's my point to Stephen A. See, you spent so much time in L.A., and by the way, I do envy you for spending all this time in L.A., that you really haven't peeped out your boy in the suit game over the past, I don't know, month or so.
I've been peeping it.
You know, I don't think you've really been peeping it, dog.
I've been peeping it, but, you know, okay. it's not sitting in that chair. Because, see, that chair has a different standard. That chair has a different standard. And so you're living up to your problem in the chair. Okay. Look at the man. Look at Biggie. That's what I'm talking about right there.
I'm doing okay over here.
I'm very impressed.
I'm doing okay over here.
The standard has been elevated. Stuff like that, right up until the moment you showed them damn sneakers. But
let me tell you about these shoes. Okay, these are custom made from Italy. Okay, so the shoe game is on point here. Okay, the shoe game is on point. All right, so let's not get it twisted here.
All right, let me get to my point. Let me get to my point real quick. Lamar Jackson, it's not Super Bowl championship or bust. But it is Super Bowl appearance. You got the number one seed. The road to the Super Bowl comes through Baltimore. You're about to win a league MVP. You got the personnel in place. You haven't thrown the ball to an all-pro wide receiver in your career till this season, okay? You're looking at the weapons that you have available with a new offensive coordinator, and the defense has lived up to a standard set by those who came before them, including Bart, the Ray Lewis's, the Ed Reed's of the world, the T-Sizzle, Terrell Suggs, and all of those boys. There is no excuse not to get to the Super Bowl if you are Baltimore. Winning, there's no shame in losing to San Francisco if indeed you get there and that's your opponent. But you need to at least get there when you're the number one seed and you're a reigning league MVP, which we expect him to be. Go ahead, D. Woody.
Yeah, I'm just going to echo again what I said earlier. You go out here, you have a dominant regular season. You dominated some of the elite teams that we have in the National Football League. You go out here, you earn the number one seed. You're the most complete team in football, and you're about to be a two-time league MVP. If you don't go out here and you can't get past the divisional round, that is going to be a huge indictment. Any way you slice it, I know you said, we talked about the Baltimore Ravens are a young team. You know what's going to be talked about if the Baltimore Ravens don't get past the Houston Texans.
We got to get ready to go. We ain't letting Josh off the hook, but it is what it is. We got to get ready to go. I just wanted to make sure for clarification purposes, you know, D. Woody, it's like I don't have on a tie today. The shirt is fly, but there's no tie. Here's the reason, D. Woody. You know, I've been summoning the Port Charles for the Soaps General Hospital, and I got some tape in the day, and one of my scenes is me on a date, so I had to, you know,
this is a day out.
Hold on. So we're going to see the other side of Brick?
We're going to see the other side, you know what I'm saying? A little something.
I hope you got that taco meat off your chest. You don't want the tie,
Bart Scott, because you don't want to be looking formal. You know, you going out on a date.
Is it a first date on the show?
Something like that. You know, they wanted to bring the Mac out of Brick, so I had to.
You know. Is that why you've been working out the way you have?
Well, that is one
That's
of the reasons.
That.
I mean, I might have to take my shirt off. I might have to take my shirt off eventually. I can't have that. I can't have that, D-Wood.
Better not be looking like Apollo Creed under there with that taco meat.
Oh, my gosh.
Better manscape that, son. That's not accepted in the 2000s.
I know, right? Yeah.
Okay, let's leave that conversation there, shall we?
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right, let's talk about those Cowboys. On Wednesday, Jerry Jones announced that head coach Mike McCarthy would be back for a fifth season as the head coach. Dallas, of course, was coming off of a disappointing wild card loss against the Green Bay Packers, which led to speculations that McCarthy could be replaced. On Thursday, he spoke to the media about how he still believes his team could win a championship. Take a listen.
We have an unbelievable fan base, and they should be frustrated. We're extremely disappointed. Disappointed for them, disappointed in our performance. But my message would be this. We have established a championship program. It's just not the world championship yet. We know how to win. We know how to train to win. We have the right people. But we have not crossed the threshold winning playoff games. And it's extremely disappointing to be sitting here talking about it. But I know how to win. And we will get over that threshold. I have total confidence in it, and that's why I'm standing here today.
All right, Stephen A., Bart, and D. Wood here for this one. Damian, I'm going to start with you. Should Dallas fans feel better or worse after that press conference?
Worse. I mean, listen, there was nothing. First of all, there's nothing that Mike McCarthy could say in that particular moment that would make Dallas fans feel any better or feel in any kind of way that they're closer to a world championship. After you just got dismantled on national TV by the youngest team in the National Football League in the Green Bay Packers, okay? This is the same Dallas Cowboy. Everyone wants to talk about, look at all the statistics. Look at all the accolades, the individual accolades the Dallas Cowboys got. Dak Prescott had MVP-type stats. You know, CeeDee Lamb, you could make a case for Offensive Player of the Year. All the all-pros that they had on both sides of the ball. All of that so you can get totally destroyed by the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. I mean, they look totally outcoached, totally outclassed. They look like they weren't ready to play from the beginning. And so a lot of that is on coaching. And so for anyone out there that talks about Mike McCarthy and bringing back Mike McCarthy was the right idea, was a smart thing to do, a lot of this has to do with continuity. We hear that word all the time, continuity, continuity, continuity. But boy, sometimes you know this, man. Sometimes you understand it. Some people come into your life for a season, okay? And I look at Mike McCarthy and what he's done for the Dallas Cowboys. He's been there for a certain season. But sometimes you got to bring somebody in there to elevate you above what's been going on with Dallas. Because I can tell you right now, yes, he's accumulated a lot of regular season, wins. But that's not what it's about when it comes to the star and down in Dallas. Down there, it's about championships. We've heard Jerry Jones. That's what the owners talked about. The owner said it. The owner said, listen, we want to win championships. I don't have much time left. Okay, so if you talk about you don't have much time left, what is Mike McCarthy doing to bring to get you closer to a championship? I haven't seen it. There hasn't been much playoff success. So as far as bringing him back, I'm just not a fan of it.
I mean, when you talk about, is it about championships? It hasn't been about championships in a long time. It's been about winning the offseason, winning the back pages, right? For me, you talk about bringing in a championship. You got a championship program, but you don't have a championship culture because it's too comfortable over there, right? And I think going with McCarthy is just keeping it comfortable. It's keeping things as the status quo. They need to get uncomfortable over there because this isn't isolated to just a McCarthy thing. This is a Jason Garrett thing. Right, so this lets me know it's not about the coaches per se. It's about the environment that's cultivated over there. Everybody's a little bit too comfortable. Everybody gets and appreciates everything that comes with wearing a star, but they don't understand what it's like to be immortalized. They don't understand how to live up to the standard that Jimmy Johnson set, that Emmitt Smith set, that the playmaker set. Right? It's crazy that I saw more passing than Jimmy Johnson. I was concerned, man. I thought Jimmy Johnson was going to have a heart attack or a stroke during halftime. But he had more passion, more heart than everybody on that roster had. And this was, it was said from Joe Buck and Troy Aikman from the start. Something seems off with Dallas today. And when the pressure gets, high, it seems like Dak Prescott shrinks. And they got to have a real conversation about giving this man $60 million because we talk about that credit card bill being due and talk about paying all these guys, top of the market. That means for CeeDee Lamb, he's going to ask for more than what Tyreek Hill got. That means Michael Parsons. That means he's going to ask for more than what Nick Bosa got. That means that you won't be able to fill some of these holes, these major holes that you have. You better bring some high character, tough guys in here, man, because these guys are not, they're not strong or mentally or physically when it comes down to it. And, you got to win with toughness. This team is built like, the Phoenix Suns. This team that's great during the regular season. But tell me what the record is when it's against teams that have above 500 records. Their record is below 500. So they got to do something about the culture. I think this is status quo. I don't expect anything to change.
I was incredibly disappointed with Jerry Jones electing to keep Mike McCarthy because I felt lied to. I felt the world was lied to. When we bring up his mortality, and I saw people a bit uncomfortable with you, Bart Scott, this morning when you were bringing up his mortality, you were right, they were wrong. Because you weren't bringing up his mortality as you were trying to push him into the grave. You were acknowledging that Jerry Jones keeps bringing up his own mortality and the fact that he believes he's closer to the end. He is the one who has said that. He is the one who has attached a level of urgency to it. He is the one that said he would give anything to win another Super Bowl before his days are over. That wasn't Bart Scott doing that or anybody else. That was Jerry Jones himself. And so to know that, and to know that you messed up for 9.5 years with Jason Garrett as your coach, and to just show the popularity of the NFL, of the Dallas Cowboys specifically, not to knock him because I think he does a good job on NBC, but considering what his record was as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, how the hell you get the job on NBC? That's a different question for another day, okay? Because I saw in the 9+ years that Jason Garrett was the head coach, 4 times he finished 8-8. Another couple of times he finished below 500, and about 3 or 4 times he had a winning record. OK, and so I'm looking at this and I'm saying you were supposed to learn your lesson and you're bringing a Super Bowl champion coach in Mike McCarthy, who's now 14 years and counting, chasing his second Super Bowl between him and Bill Parcells, Super Bowl champions at head coach. Your playoff record is a combined 1-5. Here's my thing, though. Having said that, in terms of my disappointment with Jerry Jones and electing to stay with this as opposed to going all out to get somebody like Bill Belichick, who's a 6-time champion, who would make folks uncomfortable and would be about accountability when it came to the players, here's my problem. I cannot tell you how utterly disgusted I was when I almost lost it at the end of First Take yesterday when I heard Mike McCarthy said, yeah, he got a championship culture here. I'm like, what? What the hell is he talking about? I think they should have literally grabbed him off the podium and took him for a drug test. I think they should have took him for a drug test instantly because it made no sense to me. How could you possibly say that? You got back-to-back-to-back 12-win seasons, and you're the first team in NFL history that's had three 12-win seasons, and you can't sit up there and get to a conference championship game. Now let's take into account history. The merger from 1970 to 1995, the Dallas Cowboys won 5 of 8 Super Bowls they were in. 14 NFC championship games appearances in 26 years. And ain't been back since. Ain't been back since. What type of damn championship culture are you talking about? What the hell is that about? I don't recall that. He has nothing to do with it. And so when I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at a guy who can coach, who has won a Super Bowl championship, who has gotten who did get the Green Bay Packers to 4 conference championship games. So give credit where credit is due. For you to sit up there and say you know how to win when you've got the last 4 years to lean on to show that you must have forgot was really, really appalling to me. And when you take into account the fact that you've been coaching for 17 years, your quarterbacks, how many people can say this, y'all? Your quarterbacks in your entire career, 17 years as a head coach, was Brett Favre, Hall of Famer, Aaron Rodgers will be a Hall of Famer, and Dak Prescott. Those are your starting quarterbacks. And you have 1 Super Bowl title, 1 Super Bowl appearance to show for it. I'm sorry. You can't be talking like that. Especially after you just got beat down. You were down 48. I don't want to hear no final score of 48-32. You were down 48-16 to a team that you were favored against with 6 minutes left in a fourth quarter against a quarterback playing in his very first playoff game and against a defense that was getting their ass kicked on several occasions this season. And they boat raced you, to use Jeff Saturday's phrase. I mean, that's just disgraceful. For him to utter those words, you got a championship culture here. We just haven't gotten over a championship culture. That's what you said? Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Hey, Stephen A., listen, I think for me, I want everybody to know this. Like, I'm not sitting here calling Mike McCarthy a scrub. Right. He's not a scrub. He's a good coach. He's a good coach.
Not great.
He's a good coach. But here's my question. Like, we constantly talk about with Dallas, you know, they talk about a standard, a championship standard. What my question would be, what has Mike McCarthy done to get the Dallas Cowboys closer to a championship? Yeah. I'm not talking about all these guys that statistically have had great seasons. We know that. Yeah. We know Dak has played great. We know CeeDee Lamb has played great. All of those guys. But then in the moment of truth, they come out and lay an egg. And a lot of it has to go back to coaching. And that's why I sit here and say, Mike McCarthy is not the guy to get you over the hump, to get you to a championship.
Well, I just think it's negligence not to bring in some of these great coaches that we know have been able to coach at a high level, to bring them in and just see what they would do and how they see the Cowboys. It's good to get that data, even if you decide to go with Mike McCarthy. And we talk about, listen, when you look at, you know, Tony Dungy, right? He was in Tampa and they were a model of consistency. But it took John Gruden to get him over the hump. We're talking about winning championships, not about, you know, being a stable organization. It's about going from good to great. And sometimes you got to make people uncomfortable, and you do that by changing everybody.
All right. The Cowboys have won 42 regular season games with Mike McCarthy since he's taken over, but they've only won 1 playoff game. Let's get back to the playoff action that's happening this weekend because it's time for sportsbook predictions. And we start in Baltimore. Bart, I'm going to start with you on this one. Will Lamar Jackson have more or less than 226.5 passing yards against the Texans?
I'm going to go less. I think Lamar Jackson's going to throw the ball. I think he's going to get a couple of touchdowns. But I think this is when he's been waiting all year to be able to use his legs and do any means necessary. I think it was important for him to make it through a regular season, which he hadn't done in 2 years, so that he can get to this point. And now he's going to unleash hell. He's heard all the critics. He's heard everything said about him. He knows that he was up for 2 first-round draft picks, and nobody said they would even take it. What do you think about him now? I'm going less, but he's going to do more.
They're going to try to contain him in the pocket. and you got these receivers that you went out and get and gotten in the offseason, including OBJ, and obviously Zay Flowers is no joke. We see the weapons that you have available to you along with the new offensive coordinator. You better throw for more than 226 yards. You didn't say 326. It's 226 yards. Damn it, he better, because C.J. Stroud's going to throw for more than 226 yards. I can guarantee you that.
All right, Bart, will Christian McCaffrey have more or less than 92.5 rushing yards at home against the Packers?
Feed the man. Chris McCaffrey going to eat. He's the biggest cheat code that we have in this weekend's game. You talk about this Green Bay defense. Let's not get it twisted. You heard Stephen A. tell you in the first segment how much they've struggled. And I think they're going to struggle because they're going to go against a team that's complete and physical at the point of attack. And I think Chris McCaffrey's going to eat, so I'm definitely going more.
I'm going more as well, but only because Christian McCaffrey is gifted. He's that brother. I think that Green Bay will try to key on a run and dare Brock Purdy to throw the football because I think they believe that's a better option for them, for him having to throw the football rather than Christian McCaffrey running all over them. So I think they're going to stack the box a little bit, try to make it difficult. But Christian McCaffrey is too gifted. He'll find a way to get more than 92.5 yards.
Okay, to the Bucks, Bart, how about Mike Evans? Will he have more or less than 69.5 receiving yards versus the Lions?
I love my what-up-dos, man, but, man, that secondary is so suspect. This is a bad matchup for them, and I think the Lions are going to try and make sure they run the ball to keep that offense, that defense off the field. But Mike Evans, you know, eats against everybody. 1,000 yards, 10 straight years. This guy's magnificent. I don't think the Lions can slow him down. There may be a shootout, but I definitely think that Mike Evans is going to eat.
I agree with you there, but it's not as definitive. I'm not going to be as definitive as you because I think that the Lions, because they know they might be a little bit weak in the secondary, will key on him and dare somebody else to beat them other than a Mike Evans. Not to say that they can't, but definitely, you know, he's the ultimate dude that you want to contain, and I think that that's the way they're going to look at it. So they'll key on Mike Evans, but the brother's gifted. He'll find a way to get 69.5 yards, and if he doesn't, it won't be because of him. It'll be because of the pressure they apply. Hutchinson and those boys apply to Baker Mayfield, and you don't have time to get it to him. I think that's the only way to neutralize Mike Evans in this game.
Okay, last but not least, the defending champs. Will Patrick Mahomes have more or less than 261.5 passing yards against in his first road playoff game in Buffalo?
I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I think Patrick Mahomes goes more because I think he's going to be chasing points because I think that, you know, Buffalo's going to have a good plan, and I think, you know, Patrick's going to have to try and throw the ball because they're going to try and make sure that they don't get ran against with Pacheco eating and setting the tone, trying to make them one-dimensional.
I agree with you because they're going to throw the football. They're going to throw it a lot. They're not going to be running a significant amount of times with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes back there and with receivers showing, at least for one playoff game, that they actually were going to do their job and catch the ball. I think because of that, I think you'll see Patrick Mahomes spreading the wealth around, throwing to a bevy of receivers, relying on Travis Kelce when necessary because that's his ultimate reliable weapon. But I think he's going to throw the football significantly more than they're going to run the football. And by default, it's going to be for more than 260 yards.
All right, we'll leave it there.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to First Take, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. All right, on Sunday, we get Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks headed to Detroit to take on the Lions in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. The postseason has been defined by second chances for the Bucks. First, getting a shot to avenge a week 3 loss against the Eagles, and they will now get a chance for redemption against the Lions team that beat them 20-6 in week 6. We got Bart, D. Wood, and Stephen A. here. Stephen A., I'm going to start with you on this one. Do you think that Baker Mayfield can lead the Bucks over the Lions this time around?
Hell no. Can't see it. Mm-mm. Because I think that you're going to have to put up a significant chunk of points to beat this Detroit Lions team. They can run the football. They can throw the football. I'm in Ross St. Brown. I mean, we know that this brother can ball. We know that Jared Goff has guided the team to a Super Bowl, and he's looked even better now than he ever looked in the Los Angeles Rams uniform as far as I'm concerned. I'm looking at the personnel that they have. I'm looking at them being a top 5 team in the NFL in points per game, yards per game, and red zone efficiency. So let's not forget all of that. And only the second team in the history of the NFL to have 4 players score at least 10 touchdowns. That's David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and obviously Sam Laporta, who I thought was going to be out, but ended up playing last game as well. Didn't make a bunch of noise statistically, but he was in the lineup, so give credit where credit is due. And I'm just looking at it, and I'm questioning whether or not Tampa Bay is going to be able to do a good job of disrupting Goff. I know that Todd Bowles is going to blitz coming off the bus. Makes no mistake about it. He blitzed 54% of the snaps this year. There's no doubt that he's coming and he's going to bring the rain. But Goff is experienced enough, and I think that they'll be able to offset whatever Tampa throws in their direction to the point where they'll be able to put up at least 30 points. Can Baker Mayfield and Tampa Bay do it? I believe Tampa Bay has the personnel to do it outside of Baker Mayfield, but I believe Baker Mayfield himself, who I will give a lot of credit for, he has looked good as this season has waned. This is the second time he's guided a team to the postseason. I will give credit where credit is due. He is not a scrub by any stretch of the imagination. And I think he's proven that he belongs to being a starter in the NFL, at least at this particular juncture. But do I believe they're going to go to Detroit? That city, as hyped as they were last week, as hyped as they are now. Keep in mind, guys, and BS, you know where I'm going with this. The Detroit Lions before last weekend had 1 playoff victory since 1957.
Mm-hmm.
One, and that was over 30 years ago in 1991 or 92. They were so hyped. And could you imagine how they are 60 minutes away from a trip to the NFC Championship game? That crowd, that environment is going to be bananas. They're going to be ready. They're going to be hyped. And I think it's entirely too much to expect Baker Mayfield to overcome.
I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to say yes. I once famously said anybody can be beat, right? So you talk about what do you need to be beat, right? You need to be able to pack your run game. Now, Tampa doesn't run the ball as good. But, you know, the Lions are truly deficient in the secondary. And Aaron Glenn is doing the best he can to try and slow teams down. You know, you look about what that game would have been if Stafford was able to be effective in the red zone. You know, you talk about the multiple trips. They moved the ball down there, and they came up with the plays at the right time. But you talk about you have 2 elite receivers on the outside, and then you have 2 suspect corners on the outside when you think about the Lions. Also, when you talk about, you know, Goff, when he did struggle this year throwing multiple interceptions, it was against teams that gets pressure in his face. Now, it's hard to get pressure in his face when you consider that they have one of the best offensive lines. So how do you do that? You add people to the rush. Last week, Jalen Hurts had no answer for the blitz package that Todd Bowles put together. And the difference is this time Todd Bowles is seeing this offense for the second time. We understand that the Lions are very physical at the point of attack, but Vita Vea and Ghost and all those guys, they're not easy to run against as well. So you talk about, you know, with that blitz package, you know, pressure bust pipes. They also make diamonds. We'll see what Jared Goff's made out of this week because it's a week-to-week league.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to agree with Bart. I'll say yes. I'm not picking the Bucks to do it, but they'll have an opportunity for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's always hard. It's hard to beat people twice in one season. You know, after you see them one time, you get a feel for what they did to you the first time, the adjustments that you can make. So I believe Todd Bowles and company will have some new wrinkles and things that they're going to throw at the Detroit Lions. And then ultimately, the second biggest point is, again, that Detroit Lions secondary. This is a secondary that's given up the most explosive plays of any team in the National Football League. Okay? And now you're talking about going up against a wide receiver core that has Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Trey Palmer. Like, they got – the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have some legitimate weapons on the outside that can exploit – not only exploit, but get huge chunks of yards against this defense. Now they're going to listen. They're going to have their hands full with this rushing attack and this offensive line for the Detroit Lions. But I'm telling you that Detroit Lions defense, particularly secondary, boy, they're going to have their hands full against Mike Evans and company.
Aiden Hutchinson, 3-game multi-sack streak, 7 sacks in 3 games. So let's remember that about Aiden Hutchinson. He's going to be all over the place. It's going to be a problem for Baker Mayfield. I will say this. I was wrong about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I said 54%. 41% blitzed on 41% of dropbacks by opposing quarterbacks in the league. It was still third in the league, but nevertheless, it was 41% as opposed to 54%. But I think that, and not only that, Jared Goff has committed about 7 turnovers against the blitz this year. So I guess when you look at it from that perspective, Tampa Bay's defense could come up with some big plays potentially to make things a bit interesting. But if you're asking me if it's going to be Baker and Baker's going to exploit this defense, I find it hard-pressed to believe that's going to be the case, particularly in this environment. I just don't believe it.
I want to ask you guys something really quick, Damian. I've already asked you this before on SportsCenter. So we spent so much time calling Tampa Bay Tampa Bay. Why don't we call it Tampa Baker?
Because he hasn't earned it. I mean, I know you're trying to be funny, Christine.
Excuse me.
Tom Brady is a 7-time champion. Baker Mayfield doesn't even have that many playoff victories.
I feel like once we named Baker starter in Tampa,
no.
Tampa Bay.
Don't let me tell the audience about you. Don't let me tell the audience about you.
Okay. All right, let's get a break.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.